be hurrying. We might get home in time for supper. First one up would be Minutes, but she's not here yet, so we'll move ahead to House Bill 5038, Lottery Allocation. Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5038 allocates lottery funds based on limitations established in budget bills. The allocation includes $295.9 million to the state school fund, $69.3 million to the Economic Development Department for Economic and Community Development, $19.9 million to the Department of Transportation for Westside Light Rail Bond, $5.3 million to the Department of Administrative Services for gambling addiction treatment, and $1.2 million to the Oregon State Fair for debt service. The bill also distributes interest earnings on the Education Endowment Fund, including $5.5 million to the Department of Education for debt service on education bonds, and $4.3 million to the State Scholarship Commission for NEET grants. The bill includes expenditure limitations for $10.9 million of lottery funds carryover for Economic Development Department projects begun but not completed in the 1997 to 99 biennium. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Senator Yee. Are there any questions?
Comments?
Are there any no votes on the lottery allocation bill, House Bill 5038? Hearing none and seeing none, it has passed. House Bill 5062, relating to State Financial Administration, Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5062 provides $1.56 million of supplemental state support for community colleges under use to support five separate programs. $1 million is included for distance learning initiatives. These funds will be distributed to community colleges statewide to develop courses that will be offered over the Internet. The demand for this method of course delivery is increasing, and this funding continues to assist community colleges in this important endeavor. The bill also includes $290,000 to help Southwestern Oregon, Klamath, and Rhodes Community Colleges meet costs associated with recent annexations and college startups. Because these colleges have experienced such rapid enrollment growth in recent years, the committee felt additional funds are justified to help these new programs get established. The bill also includes funds for the Oregon Advanced Technology Center at Central Oregon Community College, funds to renovate the Troutdale facility for Mount Hood Community College, and money to continue the mental health technician pilot program begun last biennium at Rhodes Community College. This bill provides the bulk of the $2 million to enhance the funding included for community colleges in this session's budget, and the committee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Any questions, comments, Senator Trope?
Chair, I'm glad to see that the committee is adding back the $1 million for distance learning that we had to take out of the budget earlier. I think that's good. The other projects we heard in subcommittee this morning, they're all worthy, and they were advanced by some very respected this committee, and we appreciate their coming forward with them. It is true, though, that there are other needs for the community colleges, and they were represented there by effective voice that pointed out that they've got a large enrollment overage that's not funded, and that a good way of making up for some of the problems that all of the community colleges are having would be if we could fund that as well. We had that issue in the subcommittee when we did their budget, and we had sort of recommended if there were additional funds, they should be put to funding the under enrollment. But all these are good programs, and we voted for them, and I'm supporting them.
Okay. Patrick.
Well, I'll go into that, okay, sir.
Pardon?
I had a question for President Patridge, actually. The colleges that community college districts that are going to be available for the $290,000. Which ones would those be?
Southwestern Oregon, Klamath, and Rhodes Community Colleges. All three of those colleges, the way they run the enrollment formula, Representative Schrader, is they base it over a 3-year rolling basis.
place a 30% weight 3 years back, 30% weight 2 years back, and 40% weight in the current year. These colleges mainly have just come online through major annexations, or in the case of Klamath, the startup of the college itself in Klamath, and they based the FTE on that 3 year basis. What this was intended to do was, because they've had such high enrollment FTE, because they've begun such major areas of service, for example, Rhodes Community College had a 24% increase in FTE from last year to this year. They're trying to fill, and if this is not fully filling their enrollment, but just filling a portion of that.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Were these, was this funding formula then brought forward by the community colleges?
Was which funding formula?
The three-year rolling basis, modification to make sure that these three colleges got extra dollars?
That is, no, the three-year rolling basis is the formula that's used currently by the Office of Community Colleges.
So this is in addition to that?
This is in addition to the formula.
I see.
To fill up that hole. Some of these colleges received some help in some startup costs, but in the case of Southwestern Oregon, they didn't even receive any help in startup costs. There's some capital investment needs to be made that these colleges are making in regards to their enrollment. That's what this is functioning.
One more question, sir.
Everything's great, I'm sorry.
What's the rationale behind the other three particular colleges being earmarked for special treatment over the other community colleges?
I don't sit on this committee, I know that the Advanced Technology Center in Central Oregon is something that they've been working on again for a long period of time. The Troutdale facility, my understanding is that that's the initial upgrade to get their skills center moving. There was a bill in on this session that they're trying to leverage some of that. And the mental health technician pilot project, which we've done last session, those students, my understanding, are due to graduate in August. The pilot project was talked about last session because of the need for the mental health technicians to replace the cost of nurses sometimes and reduce the cost for the system statewide. These $70,000 will also provide funds to evaluate that program as well.
Just a comment then, Mr. Chair.
Great.
Thank you. I appreciate the interest that the subcommittee has in the community colleges. I, too, like Senator Cho, heard that it was more, their major concern was enrollment in general, and that even with regard to the distance learning effort, that given our limited dollars that we're able to spend, that they would rather have had the full $1.5 or $2 million go into enrollment. And if I have some different concerns in that it seems like we're earmarking some special dollars here and we hope they go to the system in general. So I have some concerns with this particular.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Schrader. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This question relative to the $290,000, how is it distributed amongst the three colleges on the standard formula? Do we have a percentage, or will it just take the enrollment of the three colleges for the current year and use that as the allocation of the 290 to start with the formula? Or?
Well, the request of LFO staff and talking with them was that it's very difficult to get a total formula together because of the amount of need. What we decided to do was leave it with the Office of Community College Services and let them distribute it on an equitable basis between those three colleges. It will help fill some of the hole. The initial number that we started out with was to wait. Was created.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Comments? Are there any no votes in regards to House Bill 502?
No.
Hearing one Ragged Show, one no vote. Representative Schrader. House Bill 5062 is passed. House Bill 164 relates to community college out of district services. Representative Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 164 changes how the state funds community colleges that serve students who do not reside in that community college district. Currently, these students are served through a contract out-of-district agreement. The bill repeals the contract out-of-district system and allows out-of-district students to be counted the same as in-district students for the purpose of the community college support fund distribution. currently, Oregon students who do not live in a community college district are excluded from a college's enrollment for the purposes of the formula. The contract out of district payments that the colleges receive for these students average only $333 of general funds per full-time equivalent enrollment compared to approximately $2,550 per FTE for in-district students. Because there are not funds available to increase state support to the in-district student levels in this biennium, the committee delayed the funding system changes until the 2001-03 biennium. Even then, these changes will become operative only if the 2001 legislature chooses to fund them. In the interim, the Office of Community College Services will develop a plan for implementing the new funding system. The bill was introduced at the request of community colleges, and the committee urges your support. This bill has no fiscal impact this biennium, but it does recognize the problem that community colleges have when they try to serve students across district lines. It's felt that some students come from districts that have no services. If we're going to have a statewide system, let's deal with these students equitably, but we want to do it in the next biennium to give time to prepare for and plan for the impact.
Thank you, Representative Ross. Any questions? Representative Schrader.
I'm supporting this bill. This is a good bill, and I think it's fair to the colleges and does a great job for the students, and hopefully more students will take advantage of things here. But I just had a question on what is the roll-up cost for next biennium going to be then, since it goes from $330 to $2,150?
I didn't know that.
Chief, roll-up cost, $164.
Mr. Co-Chair, members, based on the current number of students that are being served through contract out-of-district arrangements, it's estimated that it would cost approximately $2 million over a two-year period to fund those students without requiring any shift of funds from other colleges to do that.
Thank you.
Further questions? Comments? Are there any no votes on Senate Bill 164? Hearing none and seeing none, 164 is passed. House Bill 5016, Department of Education, Representative Minnis.
I apologize, Mr. Chair.
No problem.
House Bill 5016 is a budget bill for the Department of Education Central Operations, Special Schools, Deaf and Blind, and Youth Corrections Education Program. The Special Schools and the Youth Corrections Education Program essentially are funded at the Governor's recommended level. Subcommittee reduced the governor's recommended budget for operations by $11 million, but at the same time, the subcommittee's recommended budget is a 25% increase over the 1997-99 legislatively approved budget. The subcommittee approved funding for four new curriculum staff who will provide leadership and support to schools in this area. Statewide implementation of the school database project initiated in the 1997-99 biennium. Support staff for expansion of the Oregon pre-kindergarten program and the addition of 11 federally funded positions to work in program areas including child nutrition, special education, and civil rights. The subcommittee did not approve $8 million for pilot assessment centers as part of the statewide student testing system, but did approve a $1 million general fund appropriation to the emergency stores to address some of the department's needs in implementing the Oregon Educational Act. The subcommittee also approved the $406,000 general fund appropriation to the emergency corps for salary increases for education program staff in order to address the department's significant turnover rate in this area. The subcommittee recommends approval of this bill as amended.
Thank you, Representative Minnis. Any questions, comments? Senator Crook.
Mr. Chair, I think we did a good job with this budget, especially, I think, in helping to find some additional staff with expertise who work assisting school districts in the department. The one thing I think that we didn't do adequately enough and will be continue to be a problem for the school districts is to find some way to help them with the problem of especially the STEM assessment. The superintendent had proposed that there be an $8 million package basically to establish assessment centers. And the committee decided not to do that. But I would say that there still is the problem. Increasingly, the STEM is going to be implemented, put into effect, and students are being tested, and many of them are going to not do well enough on the test so that they will succeed. They will need to be retested. They will need additional help to get ready for the test, and that's something that I think school districts are going to need help with. The superintendent has proposed this package to get them that help. We're not really providing enough of that, and even that was a pilot program. It wasn't going to be a complete program. But the problem remains with the school districts, and they're going to need help, and I hope that we and the superintendent can work together to find a solution to that problem. A lot of young people, you know, we had testimony from school after school after school, and we asked the percentage of kids who are not going to make it through this SIM hurdle at the 10th grade, and the percentage was very large in virtually every school. So schools will need help with this problem.
Thank you, Senator Trove. Further questions? Comments? Are there any no votes on House Bill 5016? Let the record show that Representative Leonard is a no vote. House Bill 5016 is passed. Senate Bill 725 relating to education grants, Representative Minnell.
Senate Bill 725 establishes a pilot grant program to fund education partnerships between school districts and cultural institutions. Arts and other cultural institutions are a rich source of knowledge for students. These grants will help school districts utilize these resources. The grant program will fund both school-based projects like artists and residence programs, and also student visits to cultural institutions and live performances. The grants can also be used for teacher workshops and the development of new teaching materials to improve education in the arts and the humanities. Art and culture are integral parts of a well-rounded education, but because of budget constraints, schools are frequently forced to restrict offerings in these areas. The grants that Senate Bill 725 funds will address this by helping schools and districts partner with the considerable resources already available through the state's cultural institutions. The bill provides $200,000 of general fund support for grants this biennium. The committee recommends your approval of Senate Bill 725.
Thank you, Representative Minnis. Any questions, comments? Representative Leonard.
Is this the bill where we're actually going to try to get more information on?
Yes.
And do we have that?
Yeah. I don't have my bill file with me, but Mr. Harvey is here, and he brought forward this as a grant program, pilot, hopefully he just be able to come into the, he actually made a very good presentation where they can partner with cultural organizations, come into teaching, give the ability for high school students, per se, to work with artists, that kind of thing.
I think the concern was more how much its original fiscal impact was $2 million, and now it's...
They originally asked for 10.
For 10 million,
yes,
right.
And then they brought it down to 3, and they're very happy with 200,000.
I guess...
It felt like that was, at least it was a commitment by us that shows an interest in the pilot on this program.
Yes, the concern was, what is $200,000, as one of my colleagues on the Education Committee said, just enough to buy construction paper and crayons. Okay, what can you actually accomplish in this kind of a program with $200,000 statewide?
Hey, do you have any questions?
Mr. Chair, if I could just comment briefly on Representative Leonard's question. We did have presentation in subcommittee, and I think the intention of the $200,000 is to demonstrate what can be done in partnerships with private nonprofit or local community activities. They characterize them as informal learning centers, which might include museums or art centers or informal organizations of artists. And I think the $200,000 can only demonstrate what can be done. And hopefully with this demonstration and documentation, other districts might use their own funds to support partnership efforts that would promote arts and cultural exchanges.
Thank you, Representative Roth. Any further questions? Comments? On 725, are there any no votes?
Are there no votes?
Let the record show, Representative Leonard, no vote. And Senator Yee is a no vote on Senate Bill 745. Any more? Okay. Senate Bill 947, relating to advertising the Oregon State Lottery. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chairs and members, Senate Bill 947 is a bill that our colleague, Senator John Lim from Gresham, introduced during the session. It's been before the legislature in previous sessions, and it deals with limiting the advertising of lottery games. What Senate Bill 947 does, it limits the advertising of lottery games to 90 days after the introduction of a new game. All other advertising is prohibited. Legislative revenue estimates that the impact of this measure would be to reduce the lottery funds revenue available for bond debt, education, and economic development by approximately $19 million per year. Amendments to the bill delay the effective date until July 1, 2001, and your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval. I voted to send this bill out to the full committee so the good senator could have his debate and discussion here. And I think what we need to do is recognize that it's kind of a two-edged sword. On one hand, we advertise to get more gambling done, and then we have to treat the gambling addict. It's like go out and sell more booze to OLCC so we can treat more alcoholism. And I think there's a very valid issue that has been raised here. And quite frankly, maybe the addict of gambling revenue is us. And we haven't recognized the problem yet. So I would say that this is something, I don't agree with this approach, but I think it's something certainly that this full Ways and Means Committee should debate and discuss and have a full hearing about.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Hannon. Are there any more comments, questions on Senate Bill 947 or Representative Butler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, with Senator Lim, I'm concerned about the gambling issue, and I continue to call it the tax upon the poor, because typically the people who put the most money in this particular kind of activity are those that can afford it the least. And while I'm sympathetic to the concerns about getting the advertising shut back, I've said in committee, and I say again, my concern is that this is attempting to kill the messenger, that is, take the advertising, but for the message, and the message is wrong. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take the advertising away, and we don't address the issue of the casino-style gambling in the state and the other types of gambling, which will immediately move to take the place of this type of gambling and this type of overall promotion of gambling within the state. And I think that it literally attempts to kill the messenger for the message that she's being carried, and that is do gamble.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Representative Lewis.
Thanks, Mr. Co-Chair. I think that this bill is not perfect, but I am very concerned about lottery, and I'm very concerned about gambling in the state. And I don't like, the advertising for something that does cause people to be addicted. However, there are a lot of problems with this bill in terms of what it does to our bond rating, potentially. And I'm very concerned about that. But Senator Lim has asked for an opportunity to have this debated, not just in full committee, but on the floor of the Senate. And I respect Senator Lim, and I want to offer him that opportunity to have a debate on the floor of the Senate. And I'm going to get this a courtesy yes vote out of full today. If it makes it to the House floor, however, I think the Senator knows that I'm going to have to be a no vote on the House floor.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. Senator Mister.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think this is bad policy, too. I certainly share the sentiments of those about the lottery, those who discuss that. I personally hate the lottery. It is an addiction that the state has got on, and once we're on that roller coaster, and I sure hope we don't ever expand it, but certainly being in the communications business, if you are going to create a product, as the state of Oregon did, you have to be able to advertise that product. If you don't like the product, you get rid of the product. I mean, that's the real core issue here. Otherwise, again, the comment about, you know, hitting the messenger is absolutely correct, that you're getting to the wrong aspect of that. But I'm always concerned, too, about limiting communications of any kind through the airways or in print. So I have that concern as well. I have great sympathy and respect for Senator Lynn's feelings on this because of my own feelings at the lottery, and I love a strong support of Representative Lundquist's efforts to put a cap on that. That's another approach to start our dependence of the state on it. But as long as we're going to have this as a source, and as long as we are going to continue it, to take away the ability to market it, I think is inappropriate.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Any further comments, questions, Representative Schrader?
Question, the carrier indicated a certain amount of fiscal. What's the total fiscal for the state of Oregon on this bill?
Well, the subcommittee was told that the lottery funds reduction available for bond debt, education, economic development would be approximately $19 million per year. So that's $38 million per biennia.
I thought the fiscal, I had a fiscal, the reason I asked a question, well then how does that juxtapose with the $28 million in the state school fund, the $6 million in the economic development, the $500,000 for a gambling addiction?
If you add those three figures together, it comes out close to $38
million. Oh, okay, let's see. Sorry.
Okay. Further questions, comments? Senator Burns.
I think it was 2 years ago, might have been longer. The governor was trying to determine what the cost of gambling was in Oregon. We know what our revenues are, but what's the cost? And the speculation was that when you consider the social services that are required because people who can't afford to gamble do, also the effect that it has on children when the money's not there, when it creates tension in the family, when you get fights, sometimes causing violence or crimes, et cetera, there must be a cost, and can we quantify it? And I think General Kudlowski was in charge of that and attempted to do it but was unable to, but issued a report saying and it may exceed the revenues we receive from gambling. That problem has compounded now because we have nine registered tribes in Oregon and they all have casinos. And they've expanded money and rely heavily on this, so it's more difficult to remove it. I like Representative Lundquist's approach, kind of a weaning away from this. And I've always supported dollars to handle the problem gambler, which you have a higher success rate of reforming than you do someone who's addicted to alcohol or to drugs. I have concerns about this particular bill, as Ben Butler said, because of the fact that it's hitting the messenger rather than the message, and I think that's important. I don't mind to having the debate and the discussion, but the bill itself is an honest attempt to try to address the problem, but I don't think it will solve the issue and will cause us as a state to have some economic problems.
Thank you, Senator Bryan. Further comments? Questions? No votes on Senate Bill 947? Let's have a roll call vote.
Senator Ross?
No.
Westland?
Aye.
Netherly?
No.
Leonard?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Butler?
No.
Caput?
Aye.
Mr. Lewis?
Aye.
Senator Kukoc?
Aye.
Senator?
No.
Lee?
I'm supposed to say yes.
Senator Crowe?
No.
Bryant?
No.
Ferriola?
Aye.
Fisher?
Aye.
Minister?
No.
Appropriation?
Why they pay him the big bucks?
I love it.
Aye.
Vote explanation. I voted for this. I've been opposed to the lottery since its inception. I think it's poor policy. I'm doing it as a courtesy to Senator Lim. And I will be voting no on the floor.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman, Bill 947 is
passed. Yes. I wanted to do a vote explanation as well.
Explanation.
Mine is similar to yours. I'm doing it as courtesy to Senator Lim. I know he cares about this issue a lot, and the last will pull and have the debate.
Representative Schrader,
similar response. I'll be a no on the floor.
Mr. Chair, can I ask respectfully that we assign the bill to Senator Lim? I carried it out of courtesy, even though I was voting no, but I told him up front so he knew. But I think Senator Lim should have the privilege of carrying the bill on the floor of the Senate.
No problem. We're letting carry this bill gladly.
Senator Ferriola.
I think, Chairman, the issue for me is one that has been very troublesome every time we have a discussion about the lottery. Our colleagues in the Senate agonized over the source of funding, and we cast the lottery as a source of funds that has without cost and a painless way to raise taxes. Clearly, with the amount of addiction, it is not painless, and it is not without cost. I, like most of my colleagues, have made vigorous arguments for the expenditure of lottery dollars for educational projects, for economic development projects, and most recently helped enact the legislation that will extend $80-some million for fish and wildlife management. Oregonians have consistently indicated that the projects and the products of the process, that they are very uncomfortable with the idea that we are using compulsive behavior to fund state services. And I think the time for a debate about the issue is here. We should bring this to the floor and talk about the issue and have the kind of spirited debate that we had today on a little bill about school projects and grant applications and conversion of transportation dollars into boarding school dollars. Perhaps everybody needs to recheck their moral compass occasionally. This is an opportunity for us to do that in a vigorous and spirited way on the Senate floor and a welcome to the day.
Okay, thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Next bill up is House Bill 2100 relating to City, Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2100 does relate to fees for surcharges and fees on fishing and hunting license tags charged ordered by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The revenue from the measure will be used partially to offset a projected revenue shortfall in the Department's Fish and Wildlife budget. The last general fee increase for hunting license and tags occurred in 1991, and the last annual license and tag increase occurred in 1993. The Natural Resource Subcommittee provides the fee proposal in House Bill 21. We rolled back the surcharge on angling fees for restoration and enhancement charges to pre-1998 levels. These surcharges were increased in the 1997 legislation implementing the Oregon Plan. The combination of the surcharge reduction and angling fee increase actually results in a decrease in the amount the public will pay for a fishing license, a resident angling license, and daily angling license. Your resident angling license, for example, is currently $20.50 at lower climb to $15.75 under House Bill 700. The increases on resident hunting tags range from $2.50 to $3.50.
accommodation license will increase by $1.25. Hospital $2,100 also includes an increase in the agency of 50 cents, half of which will go to the agent issuing a license that are happily used to support the department's point of sale licensing system. The change in the fee structure in Hospital $2,100 is projected to generate a total of $6.3 million for base program, $3 million for fishing, $2.5 million for wildlife, and $800,000 in agency. The restoration on Hampton Board programs will receive an estimated $2.1 million due to the surcharge rollback. Subcommittee expressed deep concerns and reservations about management issues in the agency and directed the department to engage in continuing dialogue with the legislature regarding efforts to make improvements. Subcommittee included a provision in House Bill 2100 to sunset the PNC after 2 years so the next legislative assembly can review the department's progress. Colleagues, the debate over this issue in the subcommittee focused on the agency's landowner relations, the customer relations, what services are perceived to be delivered, or a relationship between folks that provide the lion's share of income for these programs and those that benefit from the program. And there was very clear direction from the subcommittee to the agency that it needs to do much to improve its customer service and to do more responsible management by definition of the legislature in administering the Fish and Wildlife Program. Notwithstanding that, and extreme dissatisfaction with some aspects of the department's operations, the committee did vote to increase the to fill a shortfall that would, in fact, render our operations under the Oregon plan far less likely to succeed. Notwithstanding these efforts, there's still a firm shortfall in the Department of Fish and Wildlife. This bill is needed to plug part of it, and we urge your approval of House Bill 2100.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Any questions, comments?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes.
I'm going to be voting no on this. 1977, we combined Fish and Wildlife into one commission. It's probably the greatest mistake we've ever made on behalf of sportsmen in the state of Oregon, because we've been subsidizing the fish side ever since. And there probably hasn't been very few sessions where we haven't increased the fees. And we're excluding and creating an exclusive environment for only the people that can afford it have the privilege to hunt and fish. Those that are retired on limited incomes, disabled, whatever, students in high school age are being forced out because of these escalating costs. And I think what I'm really concerned about is that this is a poorly managed agency. Anybody that allows their employees to be first dibs on permits for hunting and fishing permits at the exclusion of the general public and then be rewarded with higher fees is not my form of accountability.
Thank you, Senator Hannon.
For the comments, Representative
thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want Senator Hannon to know that with the passage of one Senate bill that provides for larger fish to be introduced privately through the programs of the state coming out of Lake County, where they've got those beautiful fish hatcheries, private fish hatcheries, where they've been shipping those to California and other states, trophy-sized fish, what will happen is that when he doesn't pay to buy his hunting license, I'll get to fish that nice fish out of there. So we're going to have a much better fishery as a result of some privatization, and I appreciate the opportunity to take your share, Senator.
That's fine. Thank you, Representative Butler. Any further comments, questions? Senator Fisher.
I'm going to vote on this.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? I might point out how important this fee increase is in this budget. They had a $10 million shortfall. We've now got it down to, I believe, we're approximately $2 million, and the chair can straighten me out if I'm wrong on it. I do not believe that I've hunted all my life, fished all my life. I feel it's the best bargain in town. I should get my Pioneer license, so I don't have to pay $2. But I had never gone to the trouble to do that. I believe this is needed. I've seen them cut their administration in Harney County. They've done away with the office that they had there and moved and centralized their offices in Bend. They have lab biologists go in regards to sage grouse, which is could be listed as an endangered species. If we keep cutting this department back, what we're going to have are listing an endangered species because they gather the information that shows us the numbers that are out there. I never thought I'd be speaking for a fish and wildlife budget. But this is one of those things that you only cut, and we've done that with these people for so long. I think that the chair should be complimented for the job that he's done, and this is needed. I don't know where we get the money if we don't get the fee increase. But I encourage each and every one of you to vote for this fee increase for this term. This any further comments? I'd say Schrader.
After that very eloquent speech, I guess I'm probably going to vote yes in committee here to get this out. But I do have some reservations. I think we all do that the fishermen, and in particular, well, the hunters in this go-round, have saddled the brunt of, you know, doing the right thing here for our fish and wildlife in this state. And it's time for us to step up as a state and fund natural resources. And I understand the constraints are under this go-round, and so I'll be supporting it. Still out of committee at this point, but has some reservations long term.
Thank you, Representative Schrader. Further comments, questions?
Yes.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yeah, I guess I might make a comment too. It really bothers me to have to raise Permian fishing license fees when I think that the problem with revenue shortfall that this agency has is largely because we have systematically in the state reduced the opportunities for hunters and fishermen to be able to enjoy their recreation as many other Oregonians enjoy things about this beautiful state. And so it bothers me to have to raise these fees when consistently this state reduces opportunities for people to engage in these activities. And I hope that this agency, I think there has been some financial problems, but I do think that both the policy committees and the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources have made it clear to the people running the agency that we need to see some improvements in how this agency is being run. And with that very strong message being delivered to them, and because we do need to fill a $6 million hole, they will do what every agency seems to do, is they will cut the important programs if we don't fill this hole. They won't dig deeper into their administration. I don't know that for sure that they would be able to, but they will make sure we don't find out if they could do that. And they will cut the important programs, the field biologists and things, if we don't fill this hole. And again, it bothers me to have to do this, but I will support this to fill this hole in their budget.
Thank you. Chair Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be supporting this budget today. Since I've been in the legislature, this is my second term. I've been frustrated with some of the management and the issues that have come to this department. But this year, we dealt with that in the Salmon and Stream Subcommittee. They will be reporting to the Interim Committee on a quarterly basis. We've also they have a budget note in which they will be reporting to the Salmon and Stream Committee as well as the E-Board as to the possibility of selling surplus property, which will generate revenue for the state general fund. And I'm just hopeful that they've been through some rough times. They've probably got a lot of rough times yet to go through, and I hope we have enough controls on there, enough oversight, that we'll see some improvement. I think it's an expectation of everyone that's been involved in the legislative committees. I think it's long overdue. They've got a huge job to do, and I'm frustrated that they're having so much trouble getting to it.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Mesley. Senator Farioli.
I'll defer to
Senator E.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to support the fee increase because I feel that the department has not been responsive to people's needs. In some camping areas, park areas, we have consistently asked for hatchery fish stocking, and they have denied that because of different principles or theories. But that area, so there are 9 parks, camp parks there, and if they are denied those hatchery fish, there will be no fishermen coming, and it will depress the area's economy. But they have not responded. And I have other areas of the community who have requested help, and they have not been responsive. It's really sad that a senator have to come in and ask for help, and they would stock hatchery fish only for one special day when disabled veterans are there, are gathered there for one day. I mean, they're not responsive. If they are responsive, you don't even need to increase license fees. They will get more revenue. But when they're not responsive and then increase fees, people would not buy license because it's too expensive. So it has the adverse effect. So I think by being more responsive and listen to the community's needs, they will increase their revenue. So by increasing fees is not the way to increase revenue. I just like to see they do a little bit better for the fishermen and the sportsmen and do more for the community rather than stick with a very arbitrary principle they have that are not supported by people in different areas. So I'm going to be a no vote. I'm glad to hear they will be making quarterly reports, but I sure like to see they demonstrate some responsiveness before I can support the increase.
Thank you, Senator Yee. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the criticisms of the agency are manifold and will be articulated well, not only here, but in our subcommittee and on the floor session. So I won't belabor that, but there are a couple of folks that I'd like to recognize for their contribution to this process. First of all, it's the hunters and sportsmen's organizations that have consistently come forward to support the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And that in the face of disconnect, scandal, mismanagement, and just a host of other fairly heavy negatives that the agency created for itself by not knowing who its customers and by not knowing how to add value to the services that they provide. But the sportsmen have come forward time and time again, and even though they are very critical of the management issues, they're still consistently ready to pay the cost of managing the wildlife in Oregon and they're supporting it. So I commend them. There's many of them contacted all of the members on our committee and urged us to move forward with even more of a fee increase than that. The other person I'd like to commend is our legislative fiscal officer, Ken Rocco, who throughout this process tried to maintain equilibrium, equanimity, and equity to try to deliver a budget that we could bring forward to help solve a management problem that existed within the agency and not within the budgetary mechanism. And notwithstanding all that, he's been able to bring a budget forward to present to the committee that does solve many of the problems. And I'm actually very fortunate to have him as a legislative officer in the Natural Resources Subcommittee. And on this, I'd like to make those statements to the resolution.
Okay, thank you, Senator Farioli. Representative Weston.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I wasn't going to say anything on this budget, but I was moved by one word that Senator Yee mentioned, and that's responsiveness. I think as many of the people know, the Fed and the public hearings, I have some considerable heartburn over this budget. I have some considerable heartburn over the fee increases. I'm sure Senator Farioli mentioned that this fee increase is sunsetted at the end of this biennium. I see that as an opportunity for this agency to prove itself. I want to give them one more opportunity to show what they can do. And the key word is responsiveness to the people that they serve.
Thank you, Representative Westland. Any further comments? I believe we need a roll call vote. Do you want to say something, Senator Trill?
Yeah. I don't know this agency as well as perhaps I should. Every year I'm invited by the Isaac Walton League to a dinner in which they serve game food that hunters and fishermen have divided. And usually there's somebody from the department there at that meeting. And it seems to me, at least that group of folks from my district really like this department. And I think they believe that this department has a very difficult job, and they do it pretty well. Now, maybe I'm just, atypical. I don't know. But at least I want you to know there's one group in Corvallis that respects the people in the department and thinks they do a pretty good job.
Thank you, Senator. So, any further comments or questions? If not, we have a roll call vote on House Bill 2100.
President Ross?
Aye.
Westman?
Aye.
Mr.
Lee? Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. House Bill 2356 relating to commercial fishing, Representative Messerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2356 specifies that monies from the sale of fish seized from individuals violating commercial fishing laws will be deposited in the Commercial Fisheries Fund and be used for the management of commercial fisheries. Annual proceeds from the sale of confiscated fish average approximately $93,000, but can range as low as $18,000 per year. These revenues are currently deposited in the general fund. In 1997, the legislature removed all revenues from commercial fishing license and ad valorem fees from the general fund of the Commercial Fisheries Fund. The additional revenue from House Bill 2356 would be used to enhance services in the marine fisheries program, including enforcement of commercial fishing laws, marine research, habitat improvement, and other activities related to the fishing industry. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2356.
Thank you, Representative Mosley. Any questions? Comments? Are there any no votes on House Bill 2356? Hearing none, pass. House Bill 2942 relating to finance, Senator Hinnon.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, members, House Bill 2942 it establishes for the biennium beginning July 1st, 2001, a $255 million cap on net proceeds available from lottery revenues. Proceeds above the cap are allocated to the Education Endowment Fund. The cap will decrease by 5% per biennium, and the 5% reduction is calculated from the net revenues. The net revenues consist of the balance remaining after constitutional deductions for parks, natural resources, and the Education Endowment Fund. Payment of principal and interest on lottery bonds and a 20% deduction for economic and community development. 80% of current lottery funds discretionary revenue is allocated to the state school fund. This bill will gradually reduce the lottery fund resources available to directly fund education, and these resources will shift to the Education Endowment Fund. Amendments to the bill and ways and means were made with the concurrence and assistance of the substantive committee and the sponsor, Representative Lundquist. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Hannah. Any comments, questions on House Bill 2942? Are there any
questions?
Question.
What is the governor's position on this bill this time?
The governor was starting out reluctantly when the amendments, when the bill came to us, it had the money would go into the Common School Fund. The governor, state treasurer, and secretary of state all agreed to set it up in the school endowment fund. And so it would be under the legislature's purview instead of the state land board. And for, to best of my knowledge, the governor said he supports the bill.
Okay. Further comments or questions?
Sure.
Mr. Crowe?
I like the concept. I'm wondering if it makes sense to do it in part because I just hate to see us lock up money that's really going to be needed for every year's operation of the schools. It's hard for me to think about, you know, there are some roll-up costs there. We have a population that's growing. We have needs into the future. And you know, I just see tax money so difficult to find. I see other monies very difficult. And if you lock these monies away as well, I just have this feeling that somehow or other we're not going to be able to fund the schools into the future. That bothers me. As I said, I like this concept, and I don't particularly like lottery money going to fund the schools to begin with, but I want some money to go to fund the schools because I think we need the schools. And so that's what bugs me about this. I think we do have access to the money if we put it in this education endowment fund, so maybe if Sizemore gets his way and that big thing passes, that takes away income tax money and we don't have a sales tax and property tax money is going away at the local level too. Maybe we can get some money out of the endowment fund in case it has some. But anyway, I just really do see a problem into the future. I don't know if the rest of you do or not, but I do. And wonder if we're going to have money to fund the school. Eric Utah.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. My original concern with this bill was twofold. One, that it did go into the state school fund. I thought that the legislature should have more of a handle on it. But I was also very concerned about economic development and that these lottery funds truly go to economic development because that's really what they were supposed to go to in the first place when this was the lottery was created, and we find creative ways to call things economic development, but I am more satisfied now, and Senator Hammond, the amendments still have in them the 20% dedication for economic development, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And because of that, I am more comfortable with Bill. We've heard 947 earlier and not allowing the lottery to advertise the lottery so that we get more people addicted to it, and that is one way of weaning us off of the lottery. But this is another way of setting these funds aside so that we aren't so terribly dependent on them. And I understand that we do have a problem with the school funding, and that needs to be addressed too. But I really believe that these lottery funds are very well spent with economic development in that community.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, to Senator Pearl, I think a lot of us are, certainly I do share the concern about the future. But I think as Senator Keaton has just articulated, this I believe is a sound approach to deal with the lottery and our state addiction to use the lottery funds for things to which are important operations of the state and need to be looked at in that context, not on how many people play video poker games. This, I think, is a responsible approach. It puts it in the right place, the education endowment fund. Part of the future growth of the lottery is going to be in many parts dependent upon the need by the state for those funds. And if the state can't get to it, then the motivation to grow that lottery is going to be diminished. And yet, using the proceeds that we do have in the responsible way, maintaining the bonding level that we currently have, which means there's going to be less money for us to be tempted to bond for proceeds in the future, as well as being the responsibility for economic development, as was pointed out, was the original intent. So, for that reason, I think it is fiscally wise, and I would certainly urge it.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Any further questions, comments?
Chair?
Yes, Co-Chair Lewis.
I just comment briefly. I too,
like the idea that this is an opportunity to wean ourselves away from the lottery. A lot of people in my district are uncomfortable about schools being funded with lottery dollars, even though they voted for that, many of them, when they set up the education endowment fund. So I like this process that gradually weans us away from the use of lottery funds. And we have to keep in mind, with a $4.8 billion budget, most of the funding does not come from the lottery. I'm looking back on the lottery allocation bill and I'm seeing $300 million for the school for education. So the bulk of the funding for education does come from our personal income tax receipts and our corporate income tax receipts. And I think we can, with this bill, prudently clean ourselves up in the lottery.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lewis. Any further comments or questions? Are there any no votes on House Bill 2942? Hearing none.
I'm a no.
Senator Yee. Mm-hmm. Let the record show there's one no vote. Senator Yee. That I'll turn the gavel over to Representative Lewis.
Thank you. Co-Chair Kim, House Bill 3239 relating to Community College District. Senator Kim.
Thank you. House Bill 3239 establishes provisions governing the potential annexation of new territory into the Blue Mountain Community College District. The district anticipates bringing the annexed question to the voters in March of 2000. House Bill 2939 establishes the governance structure and tax provisions that will be in effect if voters approve this annexation. These provisions guarantee that the college will maintain its programs within the existing district territory and that there will be representation on the district's board from the newly annexed county. The bill will also prevent citizens in the annexed territories from having to pay bond levies for projects approved at the November 1998 election. The bill includes a $410,000 special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for annexation-related costs. If voters approve the Blue Mountain annexation, up to $110,000 will be available for the state school fund to offset the impact of annexation on K-12 property taxes. The remaining $300,000 will be available for other costs associated with community college annexation. It is anticipated that two other community colleges, Treasure Valley and Klamath, may be eligible, along with Blue Mountain, to be returned. If any of the $300,000 is not needed for annexation costs, the money becomes available to support community college distance learning efforts statewide.
Thank you, Senator Kim. Are there any questions for Senator Kim on House Bill 3239? Hearing and seeing none, are there any no votes on the passage of House Bill 3239? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 3239 is passed to the floor with two passed recommendations.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lewis. House Bill 3298, relating to professional technical education programs, Senator Ferriola.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3298 appropriates general fund dollars to the Department of Education for funds for learning that with professional technical education programs. Funds are to be distributed as a grant to programs using mobile classrooms, two-way interactive audio, video instruction, internet-based learning to deliver educational services to students in rural areas with low population density. Currently, this program serves six school districts and 13 schools over a 3,767 square mile area. The Education Subcommittee approved amendments to reduce the appropriations from $2.8 million to $900,000 of general fund money. Testimony was received indicating the 1999-01 budget for the program would be $1.8 million. Thus, the Subcommittee's action provides 50% of the biennial funding every time. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval. Colleagues, this program is a pilot project that actually has an incredible opportunity to network an area where the northernmost school and the southernmost school are the same distance away from each other as Portland and Eugene. The fact is that the population density here is below 1.2 persons per square mile, and the time and distance factors make providing quality education almost impossible. After learning network is a technological opportunity to network a whole group of partners into a system that provides the access not only for the education services of the schools, but also for partners including the law enforcement community, support, local and regional government, business and industry, commodity associations, the Department of Education, community colleges, and utility companies, and work for, which is cooperative regional and that's the North Shore needs to be able to provide education to the entire community. In addition, Mr. Chairman, the project has the support of the Judicial District, the 7th Judicial District of Courts, and also the Portland Public Schools, which will offer cross-cultural education and interactive learning opportunities for the Portland Public School System into the rural school system. We urge an aye vote. This is a good bill.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Are there any questions or comments? Representative Frisch.
I'm sorry. I think the goal of the bill is very good, and the project, I think, is worthwhile. But the problem I have is that the budget numbers we're talking about for education in general, I just can't support spending $900,000 for a very particular purpose. I think hopefully there's another vehicle that they'll be able to do some distance learning in general with that seems to be getting fairly widespread support for Senate Bill 622, and that should augment some of the concerns, I think, of the people that are working very hard on a very worthwhile project here. But with the K-12 numbers coming out the way they are, I just can't support this particular project at this time, but I love the people that brought it forward, and I wish them the best.
Okay, thank you, Representative Schrader. Representative Lester?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just prior to gathering in, Representative Butler, myself, and Judge Laura Pryor were discussing this bill, and I can't think of a better bill that's come forth before this committee this session. I mean, there are some very specific, unique needs in the area, the geographic area described by Senator Farioli, and I can't think of a more cost-effective way in which to address those needs that has been proposed here today. As the Senator indicated, this was originally fiscaled out at $3.6 million and it's been reduced to 25% of that and still retained the essence of the program core. So my compliments to the Legislative Fiscal Office, my compliments to Senator Farioli, and perhaps most significantly of all, my compliments to Judge Pryor for doing such excellent work in getting this bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Westland. Representative Butler.
Not to be bested by Representative Westland, but I just wanted to say that this frontier learning opportunity for these folks that are born and bred in the hinterlands, the pioneers out there, they appreciate the education and they get a great deal of value out of the education as well. And we get a lot of bang for our buck out there, and this gives them not quite the opportunity that they would have if they lived in a more populated portion of the state. And recognize a lot of these folks are younger folks that don't have the opportunity to just pick up and leave. Don't have the resources to do so. But given the opportunity, they become solid, productive citizens, taxpayers that help this state economy. I appreciate the opportunity, but yes.
I think this is an example of the community college annexations and the total profits today of the have-not finally getting the state and having a somewhat of an equity situation when it comes to community college education. Okay. Further comments or questions?
No. No. Okay, then.
What was the number of this bill? House Bill 3298 is passed. House Bill 3465 relating to intergovernmental road maintenance entities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3465 currently growing to face an interim task force to study the advisability of between counties and the Oregon Department of Transportation of Emerging Road Maintenance Department. The measure specifies an 8-member task force with 2 Senate and 2 House members, a member from the Association of Oregon Counties, the Department of Transportation, a member from the Oregon Public Employees Union, Union Bargaining Unit, and a member from the Bargaining Unit of County Road Department. The House Committee on Transportation referred this measure to Ways and Means with a due path recommendation. This measure had a potential fiscal impact of $81,619 in general funds. The Legislative Administration Committee support for the task force recommends the following amendments to specify the Oregon Department of Transportation to provide the support staff to the interim task force and as a payment of mileage expenses to legislative members to be paid by the Oregon Department of Transportation. And also to specify that the legislative members be from each major political party. These amendments do not change the policy issues addressed by the substantive committee, but eliminate the fiscal impact on the general fund and no appropriation if needed. The Oregon Department of Transportation has indicated that existing staff and resources will absorb any workload increase associated with the task force. The committee recommends approval of House Bill 3465 as amended.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Any questions, comments?
Yes,
sir. Co-Chair Lewis.
You know, I've been particularly talkative today. I have to comment on this bill because I had the privilege of serving on the ODOT Efficiency Committee in the interim, and this was a committee that was completely set up by Director Clementon and was staffed by ODOT and had a number of legislators on it, but also included people from the private sector. And one of the things that we did learn about in our work on the Efficiency Committee is that ODOT and Jackson County have saved a lot of money by in the maintenance area in particular by having this partnership and not duplicating services. And what this task force will do is look at the possibility of doing that other places around the state. And I want to thank ODOT because we did have a little funding problem figuring out how we could fund this bill. And ODOT did agree to be the funding mechanism. I believe they said in subcommittee it would cost about $20,000 to do this task force, but they believe that they can save millions of dollars. And this is a very good idea, and I'm glad to see that we're able to move forward on this task force.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lewis. Any further comments, questions?
Just this is a letter. Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a limited duration position, the 2.5-time FTE. Those are limited duration, is that correct?
They would be absorbed within the existing ODOT structure. They would be existing ODOT staff. So we're not creating any new positions to the Oregon Department of Transportation.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Further comments, questions? Are there any no votes on House Bill 3465? Hearing none and seeing none, it has passed. Peggy, do you know whether you kind of run down if we do have the schedule for tomorrow?
They don't send any money in.
It's not
extended
for
the
morning committees are going to leave at 8, and the afternoon committees are going to
okay, now what Peggy said, everybody here, meet at 8. The morning committees will meet at 8, and right after that, the afternoon committees will not meet in the afternoon. They will meet at 9. And of course, if you do not have anything, like I believe Chair Lewis,
we didn't have anything scheduled, but we'll consider anything you'd like.
No, we don't have anything. So, Transportation and Economic Development will not meet. The only morning sub that's meeting is the Natural Resources. They're going to meet at 8 a.m. And at 9 a.m., the afternoon sub's meeting.
Okay. Did I get that now?
And Co-Chair, could you say that again for the benefit of our executive chair?
If you use the late, are you insinuating?
Okay. For the chair from Natural Resources, we need to meet at 8 o'clock. Very good.
Good news.
Sharp.
Okay.